Let us pray. We welcome you among us, Holy Spirit. Help us to put up our sails that your winds might gently nudge us and move us. Help us to worship you and to praise you in this time and place this morning. And I ask in the wonderful name of Jesus, amen.
Please stand and sing with us number 117, O God, our help in ages past.
Let us continue in our worship by saying together this historic confession of faith, the roots that we deeply plant our feet and our lives in. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Please be seated. As we come to this time of prayer, it's important, I think, to remind ourselves of the largeness of God and the attributes of God, that God is both closer to us than our own breath, yet God is wholly other. And I don't know about you, but I like that. That helps me to know that God is close and intimate, but God is not just some person writ large up in the sky somewhere. God is big and is holy and is other and is unfathomable and is able to handle everything we bring. I want to draw to your attention the concerns on the back of the bulletin and ask if there are other concerns as well as joys and thanksgiving you'd lift up before one another. Oh dear.
And he was released last night, somewhere after 8 o'clock. And also, he has vertigo, the off balance and stuff. So, remember him in prayer.
Thank you.
On Alice, we can't seem to find anything that wants to work immediately. The last results on the cancer, whatever they were doing, they didn't get what they wanted, so they're doing additional testing. The biggest fear now is because there was two types of cancer, they're trying to determine on one of those cancers, the odds of it coming back soon or coming back later. That will determine chemotherapy, definitely going to do radiation. We won't know all that again until, I think, week after next. And then neurologically, we had testing done. The PET scan didn't show what they wanted to. So now we've got to go back for additional testing. They're going to draw spinal fluid out, do some kind of markers. Again, they're trying to rule out Alzheimer's for sure. He doesn't think that's what it is, but he said we have to rule it out. Plus, we want to know a little bit more of what this short-term memory problem is. So we need to pray.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. The soccer team. They're trapped in a cave. Any others? Thank you for sharing. That helps us all be bonded a little bit more close together as a church family. And that's what we are. We're community for one another. And we don't have to carry those loads alone. One of my favorite lines is from one of those Hobbit movies where he's taking the ring up to the mountain and his friend is trying to get him to keep going. And he says, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. And that's what we do in church. We carry each other. And then we offer that to God and God carries us. So let us pray. God, I am just thankful for this community of faith, this group of believers who come to worship you and who open up their lives and risk a little vulnerability to share their concerns and the big Goliaths that they're facing. God, in this world, if we're breathing, we're facing Goliaths. There are big problems. I lift up those that we've named aloud and those printed on our bulletin and those that we name silently in our hearts and our minds that are just struggling with massive health concerns. We trust in you, Jesus, our great physician, and ask that you cover them with the hem of your garment, where all healing and hope and health originate. I pray for those who love and care for people who are ill and suffering from illness, that you carry them when they get tired and weary. We lift up all the Goliaths in the world. We pray for families who are separated. We pray for this soccer team that is trapped and pray for speedy recovery. God, we pray for peace among your creation and that you would help us to be instruments of that peace. Help us start here with each other to be a people of peace who love radically and forgive when it doesn't make sense. Help us to be the church. I ask that you lift us and help us to turn our mourning into dancing and joy. Replace any garland of ashes with a garland of joy and thanksgiving, that when we leave here rejoicing to flow out onto the world who desperately needs to see a glimmer of hope. I ask all of this in the name of Jesus. And I ask that you unite our hearts and minds as we now unite our voices to pray together his prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now as our ushers come forward, it is a gift to be able to participate in God's kingdom. And sometimes we look at ourselves and our lives and our wallets and we think, it's so small, it doesn't make a difference. But with God, it's not small. Let us pray. Gracious God, bless these people, their gifts, their talents, their gifts of money. And I pray that you will add yourself to them so that the kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Please remain standing and sing with us number
143
on Eagle's Wings.
Whoops.
We'll sing the chorus twice through. Be seated.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you. How great is your faith in the one whose faithfulness is great. That is what our story is about this morning. We are reading from 1 Samuel chapter 17, a whole bunch of verses. I'm sparing you the whole 1 through 50. This is a familiar story about a young teenager named David and a big old warrior named Goliath. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. The notes say that's about 100 pounds. He had greaves of bronze on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I'm going to back up for just a second and give a little bit of context before I keep reading this scripture. You know how we're kind of here in Rockwood, we got a valley and we got this ridge up here? Well, that's kind of how it was where this is taking place, only there was another ridge on the other side. So imagine that the Israelites are up here on one ridge and the Philistines are up here on the other ridge. And it would have been probably a good day's hike down into the valley. But this guy, this Goliath, is huge. He's on the ridge. He's an experienced warrior. He's like one of those WWE people, you know, or Rambo. He's a champion. He's got a military background. He's got the best of the best, the most recent the Department of Defense has put out in terms of his armor and his weaponry. And he is coming to taunt Israel and to say, "Come on, you're no match for me." And then here comes David. In just a minute, we're going to read bringing provisions. David's a sheep keeper. He's so young, and he's not even considered to go to battle. But he's sent by his father to take provisions, to take lunch, basically, to his older brothers on the line. So let's pick up and continue reading. This is at verse 25. The Israelites said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. The king will greatly enrich the man who kills him and will give him his daughter and make his family free in Israel." David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And then over to verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he's been a warrior since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, "The Lord, who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor, the best of the best. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag, in the pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you came to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to this Philistine, "You come with me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all of this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in a bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, striking down the Philistine and killing him. There was no sword in David's hand. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your faithfulness, and I ask that you mingle with us now, especially that your Holy Spirit mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears, that their hearts might be touched and your word heard. I ask that you speak through me, and if not through me, in spite of me, but that you be experienced. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. So this, if it were made into a movie, would be like rated R. The reading actually stops before it gets even more gruesome. But this is the Bible. This is a story of faith. This is a story about which we just sang when we said, "Great is thy faithfulness." Saul has this armor, and he wants to give it to David because his is the best of the best. Saul is the king. And in Saul's mind, he wants to be matchy-matchy with the Philistine army. Saul wants David to have exactly what Goliath has. And it's almost comical as we hear it and as we read it, as we imagine, you know, Goliath, this Rambo Hulk kind of guy, and David, a skinny teenage boy, and David trying to walk in this heavy stuff with this helmet over his face. And so he immediately sheds all that. And he's like, we don't need this. And he comes to Goliath, and he says, "You come to me with javelin and spear, but I come to you with God." Saul is thinking in terms of how the world thinks. A world, the secular society, whatever you want to call it, he's thinking, oh my gosh, it's up to me. It's up to my own cleverness. It's up to my own weaponry that I can bring to the table. And David looks at him and he says, nope, nope. He says, maybe, you know, I could, it's a temptation to think maybe David is thinking he's just being clever, right? It's a temptation when we read this to think David's, oh, he's just really clever and smart and he's going to outsmart Goliath because he's more clever and he's found something to exploit in his enemy. But that temptation isn't the point of the story. That's not good news. That temptation is just more of this same militaristic, my weapons have to be big as your weapons, my tools have to be as big as your tools, my army has to be as good as your army. And that's not what David is about. David, in this story, looks like a joke. David with a rock kind of is a joke. It's silly to think that he can defeat this giant warrior guy. But David with a rock and God brings victory. One of the, I'm trying to weave stories about myself in so you can get to know me a little bit. And there's a passage of scripture that says God's power is perfect in our weakness. And when I was called to ministry, I felt called to go to Duke. I looked at a bunch of seminaries, but Duke was just the one. I just felt like compelled. The only way I can explain it is that it was God saying, go to Duke. So I applied, I went, I got accepted, but I had no money. I didn't have any help from parents financially. And I already had student loans from my undergraduate work. So I was like, God, you know, I don't want to take out more loans. So I deferred my admission for a semester, and I kept working, but then things kept happening. I got something happened with my car, and that took extra money, and then I hurt my ankle, and that took extra money, and I couldn't work. So I finally looked up, and I had like $325 in the bank, and that was it. And I said, all right, God, you must not mean for me to have the money. You must just mean for me to go. And it was the most weak, vulnerable moment of my life thus far. As I put that $300 where my grandmother always told me to put money, where it would be super safe, and I got in my car with all my belongings, and I drove to Durham. I didn't have a place to stay. I had a kid who was an undergraduate that I used to babysit for, and they let me stay on their couch for a few days while I found an apartment. But because I didn't have the money, because I didn't have the parental support, because I was in such a vulnerable and weak position, God's power was able to show through. And what that did for me was it gave me this foundation of faith in my life. I was like, well, heck, God showed up and worked things out better than I could have asked for or imagined. I immediately got financial aid. I immediately got a job. I got an apartment with a great roommate. It all worked out, and I met my sweetie. It all worked out better than I could have asked for or imagined. And sometimes, and this is part of the point of this story, we tend, in this world, this culture that we live in, we want to think, oh, I'm not big enough, I'm not strong enough, I don't have enough skills, I don't have enough smarts, I don't have enough letters after my name. And the truth is, that is when God's power is made perfect. And that's what's going on here in this story. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, My power is made perfect in weakness. If you don't need God, what's the point? If you don't need God, what's the point of showing up here? God is all about showing up when you are exactly beyond your own ability. When we find ourselves beyond our own ability to deal with the Goliath threats in our lives, to deal with the cancers and the diagnoses and the questions and the stuff going on the other side of the world that tears our hearts up, but that we can't do anything about. If we offer ourselves to God with just what we do have, a prayer, a dollar, a gift, God shows up. And God showed up at the moment of David's vulnerability. God showed up. He bent down, he reached into that Wadi River, and he picked up 5 smooth stones. I brought you back Seneca Lake rocks. It was so hot while we were there, and of course, in the north, a lot of houses don't have air conditioning, and my friend's house did not. So my husband and I plunked these plastic chairs in the lake and sat there and tried to cool off, and I was like, oh, I'm preaching about David and Goliath. I'm going to bring back some Seneca Lake rocks, and I reached down, and I brought them back in a box. The good news is, just as when David reached down and looked down in his hand, and all he had was a rock. The good news is, when we look down and all we have seems small or insignificant, when God is in the mix, it's not insignificant at all. It's not going to happen fixing, changing the world, changing the problems in our lives by our own cleverness. That's a temptation into sin, to rely on our own cleverness, our own abilities. But when we can take and look at what we've got in our hand, just like David did, reached into his shepherd's bag, looked down into his hand, and offer that to God, that's when we get victory in this life. It's God who makes the difference. So what's in your hand? It's like the Capital One commercial. What's in your wallet? What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Do you like to quilt? You like to eat? You like to sew? You like to crochet? Do you like to watch sports? You like to sail, camp? What's in your hand? What's your passion? What's your skill? What have you got in your life that you maybe don't give a second thought about, that you might offer to God to impact one another, to impact this community, and offer a glimmer of hope and victory in a Goliath world? As we close out today and sing our closing hymn, I would love for you, if you feel led, to come up and grab a rock or a handful of rocks. Because what I want to invite you to do this week is to have a reminder, and that rock can be a reminder, to pray. Ask God to show you, hey, God, what is it in me that I might do, might offer to you, and then you might bring victory for someone through it? Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I give you thanks for the victory that you give us in all times and in all ways through Jesus Christ. And now I ask that you help us walk in that victory every day of our lives, beginning right now in this moment. Help us offer what we have in our hand to you, God, to make a difference, to show this world victory and hope and a loving, faithful God. I pray in Christ's name, amen.
Please stand and sing with us number 578, God of Love and God of Power.
thy will, keeping free our spirits still. God of love and God of power, thou hast called me for this
God's love is all powerful, and God's power is all surpassing. Go forth, knowing that you go forth in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that power goes with you. Amen.